Good to be able to worship. Thank you, Lord, that you let us. There are a lot of places in our world we couldn't gather this way with this kind of freedom. And we are blessed. In some ways, I think we may be overblessed. That is, we just take it for granted. Because we can do this without any problem to gather in the name of the Lord. But it's good to be able to be here today and to worship Him. We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and look continue some things in that chapter. Starting in verse 8. You find it. There's an outline in your bulletin. I encourage you to find as well and to use that as you follow along so that the Lord may guide and make some notes along the way. I want to tell about God at work in Christ. That isn't exactly what the scripture passage first says, but there's some things about it I believe that will be helpful for us as we share today. Does God have anything to say to you today? Are we listening? I hope so. You see, it doesn't matter what I say, but it does matter what He says. And He will say something through the Word, through the time of sharing. So, let me read Ephesians 3, starting in verse 8. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what in the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purposes which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, but for they are for your glory. Those two things don't seem to, glory and tribulation, and they don't seem to fit. But he talks about that. This scripture began in chapter 3 about the God providing the joy of the mystery, that is, Gentiles and can be saved along with Jewish people or background, and the blessings of that stewardship, the mystery that is all in Christ, which he was talked about earlier in this chapter. Today he talked about the fact of what God has done in his life and his ability or his privilege, really, of sharing Jesus. So on your outline, if you're writing in on your notes, tell about the unfathomable riches of Christ. Tell about the unfathomable riches of Christ. He talked about, in verse 8, he got to preach the unfathomable riches of Christ. What does that word unfathomable mean? It means we can't get to the bottom of it. We can't really comprehend it altogether. It's beyond our ability to grasp. But it's fun to try to think about some of the riches that are in Christ. But I want you to notice what he said also. At the beginning of that, in verse 8, he said the very least of the saints, this grace was given. He was saying that it's a privilege for him to be able to share Jesus. He counted it a blessed honor that he could make known Jesus Christ. Now, when I think about that, am I privileged to know Jesus? Is it a privilege to know that we belong to Christ and to have experienced Him and to know Him in our life? It is. Are we worthy of it? No. So what I think about is he talked about this scripture. He began in saying, to me, to the very least of the saints, me who don't deserve Christ. Paul would say to me who persecuted the church, who tried to kill Christians, me who was so opposed to Christianity. Now I get to preach. God has changed my life such that I get to share Jesus with the Gentiles in particular, as he talks about here in this passage of Scripture. So I'm suggesting today to know what I know about Jesus is a privilege. And to share what I know about Jesus is a privilege. And he talked about knowing those unfathomable riches of Christ. The scripture on your notes first one says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable are His ways. That means we'll never exhaust God. We'll never fully comprehend Him. But I want to keep learning what I can learn in this lifetime about Him. The ways of God are so far beyond us that we have trouble sometimes just believing Him and trusting Him because His ways are so far beyond us. Other scripture says His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. Aren't you glad that it is? Aren't you glad you're not left to your own level of understanding and your own comprehension and how to figure everything out? I'm glad that there's someone in our God whose ways and thoughts are so far beyond us that it means I got something better coming and I've got a better quality of life available because I'm trusting in this unfathomable riches of Christ. My conviction is if God would ever reveal the glory of God to us in its fullness or even maybe partial fullness, I think it would literally blow our mind. I think it's so marvelous, so great, beyond our comprehension, that if God revealed the glory of His glory in His fullness, we couldn't take it. I think that's why He had Moses. He hid him behind the rock. You remember, He let him pass. He let him see His glory. Others, when they see the glory of God in Revelation, when John saw the Lord, he falls on his face when he saw the glory of God. The unfathomable riches of Christ. And we can talk about that and never run out of something to say. Now, when we think about those riches, there's a lot of areas that we could include in that. But let me suggest a couple things. One is the second passage on your notes. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Now, is that not a part of the great riches of Jesus? The unfathomable riches that we have redemption through His blood. Why in the world did He go that route? You ever think about how much God loved you, put His Son on the cross and let Him die for us, for me and for you? That unfathomable love. I don't really comprehend that. I'm grateful for it, but I don't fully comprehend somebody loving me enough to put His Son on the cross for me. But that unfathomable riches of the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Thank you, Lord, it's by the riches of Your grace, not by my doing. By the riches of the grace of God. How unthinkable, beyond our comprehension, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Now, when God forgives us of our trespasses, how much does He forgive? What does He do with the record of our sins against Him when we confess them to Jesus and receive Him as Savior? What does He do with our trespasses? They're gone. There is no record. There is no record, folks, of anything wrong between us and God when we come to Jesus. Clean. Not to me. Can you figure that out? Isn't that beyond your comprehension what God would love you enough to do that? It's part of those unfathomable riches. At least that's what I think of. Let me read the other passage that's on your notes. Beware lest anyone cheat you through the philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principalities and powers. In Christ, the fullness of God lived and still lives. He's gone back to heaven. But in this human body, the fullness of God lived as He gave His life for us. He's talking about all the wealth that comes from a full assurance of understanding. But notice what He said also. In Christ, the fullness of the Godhead dwells, and you are what in Him? You're complete. Does that, think about that. God says in His Word that when I come to Jesus, can you imagine the riches of Jesus to take us poor sinner people and make us complete in Christ? To me, that's beyond my comprehension. And so when I think of the unfathomable riches of Christ, I think about being complete in Him. When you go to heaven, what else is going to have to be added to your life to get in? Is there anything you're going to have to add when you stand before the throne of God? And is there anything you're going to bring with you to justify you to be able to sit down with the Lord God Himself? You don't bring anything. You're complete. Now, we're learning to live that out in our day-to-day life. I understand that. But it's wonderful to know. This unfathomable riches. So why not tell some other people about it? You think other people would like to get in on this kind of stuff? I think they want to know, hey, life can be rich, life can be valuable, life can be meaningful, life can be wonderful in Jesus. Now, I didn't say no problems. I didn't say no difficulties. I didn't say no physical problems. I didn't say, but in the midst of those, to know that I have the riches of Jesus Christ, I can deal with those with a sense of purpose and a sense of victory in that unfathomable riches of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So I hope today we can tell some other people. You want to get in on the quality? Let me tell you about somebody who can give you something that you can't explain. When we think about the riches of Christ, I ran across this. The third and fourth grade class at Wheaton Christian Grammar School was asked to write response to this statement. By faith, I know that God is. Okay? By faith, I know that God is. These are response of those third and fourth grade students, some of them. Forgiving, because He forgave in the Bible, and He forgave me when I went on the road on my bike without one of my parents. That's a mandate. Or, I know that God is providing full, because He dropped manna for Moses and the people, and He gave my dad a job. I know that God is caring, because He made the blind man see, and He made me catch a very fast line drive that could have hurt me. He probably sent an angel down. That's Paul. Or, God is merciful because my brother's been nice to me for a year. Jeremy. Or, God has been faithful because the school bill came and my mom didn't know how we were going to pay it. 2 minutes later, my dad called and he just got a bonus check. My mom was in tears. But in the riches of God, we are so rich. We are so rich in Christ. The second aspect of it, tell about the manifold wisdom of God. He talked about the mystery of God and the wisdom of God in verse 10. The multiplied, manifold wisdom of God. How smart is God anyway? Does He really know how to run your life? Is He really smart enough to tell you what to do and how to guide you? He is. Let me read the scripture passage. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are in Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from a full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom are hidden in the Lord. In the Lord Jesus, in our relationship to Him, we can come to Him with everything. He talked about us being knit together in love and this full assurance of understanding for our knowledge of the mystery. The mystery is Jesus on our behalf. Jesus dying for us. That's basically what the mystery is about. So, when I want to know something, I need to ask God. In the verses I read earlier in Romans 11, 33, at the top of your notes, it talked about the depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Does God really know about everything? Really? Everything. Sometimes I think we figure He don't. We've got to tell Him. The wisdom of God is such that did He create everything in the first place? Did He put us together as an individual in the first place? Did He put this universe together? Did He make all the elements that are in it? All the systems that we operate on? He made them all. So if He made them, He knows what goes on, how that was to function. He created us in our mother's womb. And so this wisdom of God needed to come and say, God, I trust You. So when I want to know something or make a decision, I need to say, God, show me Your wisdom. I like what the Scripture says in another passage I didn't put on your notes. If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. He will give it to you liberally and won't chew you out for asking. I'm paraphrasing the last part. Upbraideth not, one translation says. Do you like wisdom? You see, getting wisdom starts with admitting I need it. Well, think about it. I'm not going to ask somebody something if I think I already know what to do. And God wants us to understand we don't know what to do. We need to come ask His wisdom. And He'll reveal it. Now, how is He going to reveal His wisdom? Partially, at least. In the Scriptures. Now, there's some things not in the Scriptures He can reveal to us. But think about His wisdom for anything, for everything. I was thinking about God's wisdom. Think about His wisdom when He told Noah to build this big ark. Had anybody ever built an ark before, as far as we know? Probably not. Can you imagine building a boat about 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and three stories high? Right. In the middle of the desert. Think about the wisdom. God told him how to do it. How long, how wide, how high. He told him how to do all the animal, all that. God was smart enough that when the flood came, that boat floated. And all the animals were on it, and Noah and his family were saved. But God told him that. Or think about when he built the tabernacle. Did he tell him how wide, how high, how what size, everything in it, even those little details, he knew what to do. So what I'm suggesting is if God's that smart about those things, He's smart enough to know about me and what I need to do, how I'm to live, what the decisions I need to make, and He will help us do that. The wisdom of God. I'm sure glad He is willing to speak to us and show us His wisdom along the way as we ask Him. I find at times if I'll just quit trying to figure it out, you know, sometimes for me, I try to figure, you know, stuff going on, trying to figure it out. I finally go to bed at night and say, Lord, you know, do you ever wake up in the morning and it pops in your mind what to do? Or somewhere along the way, oh, it just seems to come. That's God. Whether it's a material thing or a spiritual decision, that wisdom from God. So, I'm sure glad that we can tell the world, if you want to know what to do, God will help you know what to do. On the other side of your notes, tell about the eternal purposes of God in Christ. In verse 11, he said that was this mystery, this sharing of Jesus, was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I mentioned this, I think, not too long ago, but it's amazing to me. I need to remember, God has put us into an eternal purpose that God is working out. It isn't up to the United States. It isn't up to Russia. It isn't up to Germany. It isn't up to all the other countries. God began in Genesis with a creation of a purpose and a plan that He is fulfilling and going to fulfill until He brings it all to completion. And we're about an eternal purpose of God. We're fitted. God says, I'm doing this now. Would you come and be a part of that? Participate with that. And that's awesome to me. He talked about this according to the eternal purpose of God, that each one of us are being added and used to fulfill God's eternal plan and purpose. To me, that's awesome. I don't feel worthy to be used, but He's saying, I'll use you. As we yield to Him, as we follow Him, as we do the ministry that He gives us to do, He's fulfilling a plan bigger than us. And I'm grateful. The eternal purpose of God. Let me do the Scriptures. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, His prisoner, but join with me in the suffering from the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. Talked about this suffering that he went through, but all of it he said was according to God's. He called us according to His own purpose and grace. Did the apostle Paul have a part in the eternal purpose of God? Did David have a part in the eternal purpose of God? Did Peter, James, and John have anything to do with the purpose of God? Do you have a part in the eternal purpose of God too? I hope that sinks into your mind. We're about something far more important and more valuable than this moment, this day, this church, this community. We're about an eternal purpose of a living God. He says, I want to put together a people of God and a kingdom that He's going to rule and reign in, and I want you to help me do it. To me, that's awesome. This eternal purpose of God that's building and developing and including us in it. So He talked about in the Scripture passage that the manifold wisdom of God could be made known. But I want you to know something else about that passage. It says that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. How? Notice this. Through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. We're part of God revealing His truth, not only to the world, but to the spiritual rulers and the places out about beyond us. And as God fulfills His plan, His purpose, through the people that He gathers together His own, He's showing the rest of the spiritual world that here's what I'm doing, and they get to watch what God's doing. But we're a part of that. We get to declare as a people of God, as a church of God, as we live out and carry out the message of Jesus, we get to share that, be a part of that. I hope my prayer is that some of the reality of that will sink into your brain. It's awesome. It is awesome that God Almighty says, I want you to be a part of my eternal purpose. I picked up this note by Raymond Edmond. It says, first He brought me here by His will. By His will I'm in this place. In that fact I will rest. Next, He will keep me here in His love and give me the grace to behave as his child. Then He will make the trial a blessing, teaching me lessons He intended for me to learn, and working in me the grace He means to bestow. Last, in His good time, He can bring me out again, how and when He knows. Let me say I am here, one, by God's appointment, two, by His keeping, three, under His training, and four, for His time. We are there. God's in letting us participate with Him in the eternal plan. And I want to be as involved as I can be in recognizing that when you teach a Sunday school class, when you take the care of the nursery, when you're visiting your neighbor, when you're sharing, it's more than that moment. It is more than that day. It is more than teaching that class. It is more than your witness. It's about the big kingdom of God that He's building. And He's saying, you help me do that as you participate with me. What a privilege it is for us to join a holy God in His kingdom, for His plan, for His purpose, for which He saved us and added us. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be on that side. I'm glad to be included. The next area is tell about the boldness and confidence found in Christ. In verse 12, he talked about in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him, that is, faith in Jesus. Boldness and confidence. Now, I'm not talking about brashness, okay? But boldness or confidence. Let me read the scripture passage on your notes and think about it. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He said, in His purpose, we have boldness and confident access to God. That means I get to come to God through Jesus without any fear. I can get to come and know He'll receive me. I can come and lay my life before Him. That means I can come in boldness and tell Him what I need and tell Him about my sins too and know He'll love me anyway. He knows them all. I know that. But you talk about this coming to God because of who Jesus is, because of the relationship in Christ. We get to come to the throne of grace. And we find there what? Mercy and grace. Have you ever found any mercy and grace? Every day we have mercy and grace. The very fact that we live and the very fact we have any relationship to God and want to know God and want to know Jesus, that's a part of His mercy and grace. Because compared, number-wise at least, to the rest of the world, are you a majority or are you a minority when it comes to understanding the grace of God and the mercy? We're in the minority. But aren't you glad you're in on that? Aren't you glad you know the mercy and the grace of God? And so because of that, you can come with boldness and confidence. I'm not talking about coming running in like a kid in the playground yelling at God. What I'm talking about, coming with God's assurance, He's going to hear me. He's going to receive me because I'm in Jesus. He's going to listen to me because I'm in Jesus. And so I have this confidence, this boldness. I don't have to come with a little, well, God, no. I come in the name of Jesus. And I want to present my life to you, my request to you, my needs to you, my praise to you, with a sense of assurance and boldness. God's going to hear me. He's going to receive me because I'm in Jesus. And so I come to say, thank you, Lord. It's good to have that kind of confidence. Now, when I have that confidence in God, and I'm sure about that, I'm confident in Him, I have boldness in Him, does that do anything about the rest of life? If I have a confidence and trust in God and assurance of Him, does that give me confidence about the way I'm living, where I'm going to go, what's going to happen to me, because I'm trusting Him, then all I can have confidence that everything else is going to work out okay. Because my boldness is in Him. My confidence is in Him. And it'll affect, I believe, the way I think and act every day and my assurance. So when my car blows up, I don't pick on anybody. My confidence is He's going to care for it. When I have a heart attack, I can still cry out to Him. He's going to care for me. Whatever the issue is, I can come and say, God, I bring this to You because in Jesus, You know my needs, and I'm coming to You with assurance that You're going to meet my needs. You're going to do it in Your way and Your time. Now, as the guy said a while ago, as I read, it's in His time. My problem is I want it today, if not yesterday. But God says, I know when to do it. I'm smart enough to put it together. And He will. Because I have confidence in Him and in His power and in His grace and what He can do and how He can put things together. Because there's everything about life He knows about and can put it together. I don't care what it is. Because He's smart enough to know. If He can put this universe together, which He did, and put this body together, which He did, He can take care of everything else. I want to come with that kind of confidence. So we come because we have confidence in Him. Therefore, we have confidence day to day because of who He is. The last thing, tell about the courage Christ gives in tribulation. He said, He asked them not to lose heart in His tribulations, for they are your glory. And in my human mind, tribulations and glory just don't seem to fit. But He talked about they are for your glory. Let me read the scripture passage on the bottom of your notes. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord, because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Paul was in prison because of Jesus. Not because he did anything bad, because of Jesus. But notice what he said, my circumstances, it turned out for the good of the gospel. Because my imprisonment, my serving Jesus in this prison, has resulted in other people having more confidence and more courage to share Jesus. You see what he's doing? Remember earlier in this chapter 3, he talked about he's a prisoner of Jesus. He's not a prisoner of the Roman government. He's a prisoner of Jesus. They arrested him, yes, but he still belongs to Jesus. And he said in the midst of his tribulation, his stand for Jesus, his conviction for Christ, his living for Jesus resulted in others having confidence in God. I thought about that. Some of us watched the movie called Insanity of God, about people who in other countries who serve Jesus in very extreme circumstances. It was amazing to me as I thought about them, how faithful they were to God. It didn't matter. They knew that God was going to take care of them. And there was boldness. For me, that was encouraging. Just, wait a minute. What have I got to worry about? These people are put in jail. These people are beaten up. In fact, one of the guys said that the guard would bring him his toast with human waste on it. I never had that happen to me. I mean, if they can serve Jesus in the midst of that, what do I have to worry about if it's 100-degree heat? Or what do I have to worry about if there's other issues? So if somebody doesn't like me, so what? I'm not likely to be thrown in jail. At least not yet. And so there's confidence. When I understand, when I think about Christ giving me confidence, my prayer is that God will cause us to be a bold people for Jesus and not worry about the outcome. You see, when I've died to Jesus and died with Jesus and died to self, what else is there? If you're dead, what? What else can happen to you? So if I died to myself in Christ, so what? Let's be busy about sharing Him. Confidence in Him and coming to Him. And in the midst of tribulation, say, God, You're growing me up. You're developing me. And He is. I guess personally, I'd like for God to just give me a smooth road. You know, just get saved and everything goes great. And you go and finally go to heaven. But do we grow when everything is smooth? No. Sometimes we grow because we have to face issues and problems. And we have to trust God to solve them. Someone said, and I agree, sometimes God puts us in places that only He can solve so that we'll trust Him. And we don't know how to trust Him until we have to trust Him. How do we know that we can trust Him until we trust Him? And He puts us through those times when we learn to trust Him. And in the process, we discover He came through. Is He always going to come through? Absolutely. And so in the midst of those tribulations, we have courage that says, well, He did it once, He'll do it again. So as I read through Scripture, I'm grateful for those examples of the courage of the men and women of God who stood for Jesus. And those through the ages, God help us to be the same. To have courage in the midst of tribulation. Say, Jesus, give me that courage. Give me that boldness to share You in the midst of tribulation. So, it all begins where? With Jesus. With the commitment of our life to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and giving up our plan and our purpose to receive Him as Savior and then learn to follow that out. I want in on God at work in Christ. I want in on these things that He talked about in the Scripture passage. I want in on the riches of Jesus. I want in on those unfathomable riches, the wisdom of God that's beyond my understanding. I want to live in the eternal purpose of God with boldness and confidence because I'm learning to live in tribulation and praising God for it because we're about the eternal plan of God. So if you don't know Jesus, you've got to start there. Then, as a Christian, ask God to help you see, this is who I am. This is what God's done for me. Can you take this? Is this these scriptures about Paul that he wrote? Can that be true for you as well? Yeah. So say, God, take these principles and help me live them out this week. Did you read through that scripture passage on your own? Let's pray together. And as the Lord speaks, we're going to give a chance for you to respond openly about a decision to trust Jesus or renew a relationship or follow through on a decision about Lord serving the Lord in some way or being willing to be baptized for the glory of Christ or whatever. Thank You, Lord, for bringing us together in Your plan and purpose. Thank You, Lord, that Your plan is far beyond this moment, beyond this day. It's a forever plan. Help us then today, Lord, to surrender our heart and life to You and be ready to respond. Lord, for that individual who may be here today who has not had a personal encounter with You as Savior, Lord, I pray that today they will understand that and receive You. For those of us who know You, grant that we'll rethink about our walk with You and focus our life on You. Have Your way in this moment, Lord, in the way You want to do it. And I thank You for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. As God, Lord speaks, encourage you to come and share those commitments, those decisions.
Take up thy cross and